They still don't understand how urgent the situation is.
What is wrong with the economy is we're running a $2 trillion deficit in what's supposed to be an expansion. Washington's out of control. You've got a major presidential candidate who wants to raise taxes by $5 trillion. It's the most insane proposal ever. It would destroy the stock market.
The globalists want to vertically integrate the economy. That's why they shut down every Western nation on earth for over a year and a half, third world nations for up to 3 years, to devastate local economies and independent businesses and infrastructure. And that's why the average globalist more than doubled their wealth during COVID. And they have admitted, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, all of them, that was a test for carbon lockdowns, civil unrest lockdowns. The low number, 20 million in the actuary insurance companies, the high number, 30 plus million dead from the shots.
What appears is that Pfizer, when they provided these documents to the FDA and to the EMA and to Health Canada, they took these standard plasmid maps that are generated through programs that we all have access to, and they deleted the little notation that said there's SV40 sequences in there. And the FDA, apparently out of, I can only think, incompetence, didn't take the raw DNA sequences, reconstruct those plasmid maps, and look at them themselves. They just took for granted what Pfizer had given them. And now this has all come out because of these researchers that did functionally something akin to the lot release testing that is not happening.
So there was probably somebody at Pfizer who knew they were what they were doing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This is from peer-reviewed literature, and it's scientists based in Japan and South Korea. And what they've done is they've taken COVID vaccines, mostly Pfizer and Moderna, and cultured them, incubated them, to try and duplicate the conditions in the human body. And they've found nanostructures have developed. And these are some of the nanostructures that were observed in, as I've said before, conditions that were designed to duplicate human cells in the human body that developed from the COVID vaccines, the mRNA vaccines.
Turns out that, you know, the vaccines were developed not by Moderna and Pfizer. They were developed by NIH. They're owned, the patents are owned 50% by NIH, nor were they manufactured by Pfizer or by Moderna. They were manufactured by military contractors. And basically, Pfizer and Moderna were paid to put their stamps on those vaccines as if they came from the pharmaceutical industry. But, you know, that's not what they were doing. They were coming from, you know, this was a military project.
The mRNA shots, for anybody who got two or more, triggered the production of something called IgG4, which I don't know if we've talked about it before, but IgG4 is the immune system's own message to itself to turn itself down. That IgG4 signal to turn down the immune system is now connected to the presence of spike protein. At a bioengineering level, it is trivial to add spike protein to something else. The question is, how can you deliver a biological weapon that harms your enemies without harming your population? You have to separate those two populations in some way. The obvious way to do it is to inoculate your population so that they have an immunity. The enemy population doesn't have an immunity, right? Mind you, this is all wildly immoral, but if you think like a weapons maker, this makes some kind of sense. But this is not the only way. That's where the IgG4 thing really throws me. Because what they seem to have, in the best case, accidentally done is created a vulnerability in the populations that took the mRNA shots that does not exist in populations that didn't. And any time a pathogen shows up with spike, it is likely to trigger the immune system to stand down.
It isn't like HIV that eats white blood cells. You know, that goes and kills white blood cells. It turns off the special type of white blood cell that is the general. And listeners are like, okay, you talked about this last week. You know, I feel like I should only talk about this and the 350,000 missing kids, many of them in sex slavery, they admit, and slave labor. I mean, like one of these things alone, like they gave you a shot they knew turns your immune system off. A vaccine is supposed to turn it up. We have a psychotic, mad scientist, criminal government that is organizing and setting the precedent. Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
It's Wednesday, September 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing, get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. We are coming to you live this Wednesday morning, the 11th of September, 2024. On this sad anniversary, we look back at the debate that happened last night. And I'm going to open up the phone lines for your calls nice and early because we have a guest in the third hour. We'll be joined by Dr. Stella Emanuel to talk about what you can do to defend yourself against the newly released bioweapon diseases. I actually have some stories about that in our Daily Dispatch. But I want to hear what you thought about the debate last night. In a word, my takeaway, disappointed. I'm disappointed, personally. Of course, we knew that the mainstream media would declare Kamala the winner no matter what. No big surprises there. But she surprised me. I admit, it was not the blowout I expected it to be. And I put the blame, frankly, squarely on Trump for that. It felt a lot like watching, you know, your favorite football team that you know is really good, that you know can win games, but they just keep missing field goals and they keep fumbling the ball in the end zone. And it's just like, didn't you guys practice? Don't you guys practice before a big game to not do this sort of stuff? There were so many opportunities, or you know, you're like, you're watching a basketball game and there's a breakaway where, you know, your guys are the only ones at that end of the court and they just missed the layup. And it's like, how many opportunities did you have to dunk the ball here? You just completely whiffed it. I was disappointed. Obviously, there were some great moments. There were some really classic Trumpian moments, flipping the I'm talking, I'm speaking. Quiet, please, on Kamala Harris. Obviously, that was great. Great that he brought up they're eating dogs. Very meme-worthy events. There were definitely some good moments. I think everybody agrees his closing statement was probably the most powerful part of the debate. But we're going to go through. We're going to fact-check the fact-checkers. Obviously, the big takeaway. In case you missed the debate, let me tell you, the moderators were so overtly biased, it was really hard to miss. But here's the issue. Here's the problem. And I can do this. I don't know if anybody else can. I can watch the debate like a liberal. And I can see it through their eyes. And it's funny because I go on X during the debate. And I expect to see people kind of like, what the heck, Trump? What are you doing? Why aren't you mentioning this? Why'd you bring up that? And says just like, ah, he's killing it. He's doing great. He's doing amazing. And it's the classic reality that we live in, the bifurcated reality in which liberals and conservatives just exist in two different spheres of reality. It's they don't interact, really. They don't intersect at all. And so we've talked about this before, but what happens in this circumstance is, how do I put it? The proof, what we see as proof, they see as proof of the opposite claim. So we see the 34 felony counts of Trump and the dozens of lawfare cases against him. We see that as evidence of a corrupt government going after their political opponent. But the alternative view, the liberal view of that exact same situation is those indictments are proof of Trump's criminality, right? We see it as proof of one thing. They see it as proof of literally the exact opposite. And the same thing happened with the debate last night. We saw the debate moderators being incredibly biased, unfair, one-sided, and really teaming up against Trump. To liberals watching it, this was more proof of Trump's lying. This was, well, Trump's just such a liar, they had to step in. And the fact they didn't step in with Kamala's, that's not about their bias. It's about the fact that Kamala's honest. So watching the debate through liberal eyes, there's no question Kamala Harris won. Watching as somebody that knows about the stuff they were talking about, it's obvious she's full of crap. So as somebody who can actually see through the rhetorical devices that she employs, it's obvious what she's doing and that she has no policy. And, you know, if we had an intelligent and informed populace, her performance wouldn't have been so successful. Also, there's the issue of her face, which is just repulsive in a variety, not because she's ugly, but because her spirit comes through. And that's disgusting, condescending, and just look at it. Just look at it. Like, I want to draw it. I don't know if I could. There's something about the way she, like, she does things with her eyebrows that I can't even figure out. I was trying to do them in the mirror this morning. It's like the sides go down, but the middle is up. It's like, it's weird. I don't know how she does it. She can achieve a condescending look that is beyond human nature, beyond human comprehension. So we're going to go through and, people they've run the numbers. We have the whole transcript we're going to go through. We're going to debunk the debunking, right? We're going to go through all the times where, you know, the ABC moderators jump in on Trump and go, actually, sir, that's completely untrue. That never happened. Moving on, Kamala Harris. And we're going to go through all of the fact-checking they did and just show you the proof that it's exactly what Trump said, that their fact-checks are utterly false. And we'll talk about the rhetorical devices they used to lie. You know, maybe the best example is Trump talking about them eating animals. And we'll get the transcript, but the ABC moderator said something like, the city manager has said that there are no specific police reports about illegal Haitian migrants eating family pets. Like, okay, that's a lot of caveats there. In other words, there are definitely reports of Haitians eating animals. There are definitely reports of immigrants eating ducks or pets or something. But there aren't any specific police reports. You know, it's like, well, this one document doesn't exist. This one certain type of report doesn't exist. Therefore, you're wrong. It's a very, very commonly employed tactic by the left to make claims in specifics as if that debunks the claim in general, which it doesn't. And we just have so much proof of everything that they supposedly debunked. It's really absurd. The problem is most Americans, extremely low information, and it's almost counterproductive if you don't supply them with specifics. And this is where Trump failed. And this is the problem that I have with Trump basically every time he does anything like this. There's a time and a place, you know. It's like what I'm trying to teach my three-year-old right now. There's a time and a place, bud. There's a time and a place for red meat for your base, for rambling in unspecific terms. The debate is not one of them. The speech at the RNC, not one of them. And it's very frustrating to me. And the frustration to me is multiplied and magnified by the importance of what we're doing here. You know, Trump's not going for Trump here. He's going for America. He's fighting for all of us. Like, he has to win for the sake of America to even have a fighting chance over the next few years. Kamala Harris gets in. That's it. I mean, it's over. It really is over for us. So it's like, how are you not more prepared? How do you, unless I missed it, I don't think once he mentioned the 325,000 missing children. Did he even mention that? It's one of the craziest stories ever. The United States government has lost 325,000 children. He doesn't bring that up? Well, what the hell? What? How do you not bring that up? How do you not bring up numbers in any immigration discussion? He kept being like, oh, they're emptying their prisons. They're emptying their insane asylums. For people that don't know what he's talking about, this sounds crazy. This doesn't make any sense. They don't even know, like, where to find this information. Like, it's just, it's nonsense to them. What they need is numbers. This many people have crossed the border since you came in office. This many people crossed the border when I was in office. Big number, little number. Like, I was very frustrated with Trump's reforms last night. Again, I don't want to just rain on everyone's parade. There was obviously, you know, a bunch of good stuff from him. It's obvious. It was obviously rigged. It was obviously biased, but duh, obviously it was going to be. And so the biggest disappointment with me was that it seemed like in the takeaway, I think most people will agree with, is that Kamala Harris sort of controlled the conversation. She seemed like she had all of the questions in advance. I see a lot of people being like, yeah, this was blatant. It was blatant that, like, she had pre-prepared speeches for every answer. And then when it was a rebuttal time, her answers were a little bit more murky and sloppy. Because when it was a debate question, she probably knew what it was going to be and just rattled off, you know, her pre-prepared statement. And then when Trump would say something and they'd go back to her for a rebuttal, it was more like, let me just figure out what I'm going to say for a second. So it was obvious how much her preparation did. And in a way, you know, before the debate, we were mocking Democrats because they kept saying things like, you know, Kamala Harris's problem is she might be too prepared. She might be too smart and have too good of a grasp of the policies. And it's like, well, that's a very stupid thing to say. It's like, you know, what's your biggest weakness? My weakness is I care too much and work too hard. You know, it's like, all right, that's a dumb thing to say. But in reality, that can be a weakness if you employ it as a weakness. If she has all these prepared answers, but Trump's throwing her curveballs, then those prepared answers get jumbled up in your brain and you know, it wouldn't help to be that prepared if you're suddenly being thrown questions or accusations or whatever that you're not prepared for. But Trump didn't do that. And it seemed like Trump was reacting. We're going to get into this, and I'm going to show you videos and everything. I don't just want to ramble about it, but I'll just say one perfect example of this, for example, of like everything. It's like the encapsulation of the whole debate, because it was an incredibly biased question. And then Trump's answer was hugely lacking, and just he had to have expected this, and just he had nothing. And it was one of these questions, one of these examples, one of these instances where, you know, your team has broken away with the ball and they're alone on that end of the court, and he just, you know, spikes it into the stands. And it's like, okay, why didn't you go for the layup there? Why didn't you go for the slam dunk? This is very easy. The question was to Donald Trump, why did you say that Kamala Harris was not black and now she's black? You know, why do you hate black people? Right? It was one of these like incredibly biased questions. And then when they go to Kamala Harris, it's like, and Kamala, would you like to talk about why racism is bad for 5 minutes? Just, a total setup, but a perfect chance for Trump to take that question, which is an accusation, and flip it on its head and go, the question is, why has Kamala Harris changed who she is depending on who she's in front of? It's not about me saying what race she is. It's about her being a phony. It was like the easiest, you know, jujitsu move, right? where they you use the strength of your opponent against them, use their attack to their own deficit. And he just didn't do it. He just has this like, I don't care. I don't care. She's Indian, she's black, yeah, it doesn't matter to me. And it's like, okay, fine, but did you not know they were going to ask this question? And why would you not flip that and turn it into an accusation about Kamala Harris's sincerity versus her, you know, fake attitude, how she's pandering, how it's an insult to black Americans, think that they can be fooled like that by a frankly insulting accent she puts on in front of black crowds. Such an easy thing to flip on its head and turn a, you know, seeming weakness into a strength for Trump. And he just didn't do it. He just didn't do it. And again, it's, you know, it's, I am reminded kind of the RNC, where it's the same type of thing, where it's like, here's your chance, Trump. You just got shot in an assassination attempt. You're the man of the hour. Here's your chance to give a concise, solid, powerful speech. Instead, he rambles for 2 hours. And it's like, dude, what are you doing? We're just, what are you doing here? Because it's not like this is just, you know, for Trump to win. It's like, this is for the sake of America. How did you not know these questions were coming? How did you not have better answers for them? So, yes, the moderators were extremely biased. Yes, Kamala Harris had canned answers. Yes, what she said didn't actually make sense if you think about it. But we're talking about the average American here. To quote George Carlin, think about how stupid the average person is. Just think about the fact that half of the people are stupider than that. And so looking at it through, you know, unbiased or even liberal eyes, it was a victory for Kamala. Sucks, but that's my interpretation. I'm going to take your calls to get your statement. We're going to do the fact-checking of the fact-checking. We're going to show you some clips that prove beyond any doubt whatsoever that Trump was right about the things that they were saying he was lying about. But none of that matters if that information doesn't get to the average viewer. And the average viewer, believe it or not, is still watching cable or getting their news from the cable networks on Facebook and Instagram. So again, we're gonna cover the debate a lot. Obviously, today is the anniversary of 9/11, which deserves some retrospective attention as well. And we'll talk about, you know, where we are here so many years after the event that changed the world forever in a variety of different ways. None of them good. None of them good. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Wednesday, the 11th of September, 2024. From New York Times, who won the debate? A sharp-edged Harris unbalances Trump. And again, I think that is an accurate representation of the overall take from this. It says commentators, even Republicans, concluded that Kamala Harris had succeeded in provoking Trump into veering off message. In the first and perhaps only presidential debate between Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Donald J. Trump, the two candidates verbally sparred in often deeply personal terms, with policy arguments largely being overshadowed by fiery exchanges over character and crowd size. And yes, I do think he went off message. And again, I think the preparation paid off for Kamala Harris. Again, we'll get into that momentarily. Meanwhile, as an outcome of this, Taylor Swift endorses Kamala Harris in a post signed childless cat lady advocating for calm, not chaos. Taylor Swift said she plans to vote for Vice President Kamala Harris in a post to Instagram shortly after the first presidential debate Tuesday between Harris and former President Donald Trump, saying, "I will be casting my vote for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz in the 2024 presidential election," adding that she'd vote for Harris because she fights for the rights and causes I believe in and need a warrior to champion them. She signed it off as a childless cat lady. Well, just watch her closely if you're in Springfield. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is if you have cats, just make sure you know who your neighbors are. Speaking of that, speaking of the incredible, wonderful success of all of the Haitian migrants in Ohio that, you know, we're routinely told over the last several days, it's an insult to even suggest that there are negative consequences. Well, Ohio is sending troopers and $2.5 million to a city that's seen an influx of Haitian migrants. The governor of Ohio will send law enforcement and millions of dollars in healthcare resources to the city of Springfield as it faces a surge in temporary Haitian migrants that has landed it in the national spotlight. Yes, Haitian migrants, the gift so good you need extra police and $2.5 million extra dollars just to deal with the influx. And this just goes into everything we've been talking about, the fact that the resources are available, the you know, energy is there. The problems that unfortunate towns like Springfield has faced in the recent past are all easily overcome with a concerted effort. And the fact that nothing is done until 20,000 Haitian migrants show up and then suddenly, you know, the coffers are open and the, you know, energy is available is just proof that the downfall and collapse of small American towns is a choice being made by the people in power. We'll get back into that in just a little bit. Meanwhile, how a third state could issue stay-at-home orders as it considers declaring deadly virus a public health emergency. Maine officials are now considering declaring a deadly mosquito-borne illness a public health emergency, which would give them additional powers. The state has recorded three cases of eastern equine encephalitis, an incurable infection that kills a third of patients in pets, and 15 cases of West Nile virus in wild birds. Given the rise, a state public health panel recommended a public health emergency declaration, which would allow the state to receive additional funding and implement other interventions to prevent the spread. So yes, slowly but surely, in a piecemeal fashion this time, lockdowns are coming back. If issued, Maine would follow neighboring Massachusetts and Vermont, which are both experiencing a similar rise, where officials are given strong recommendations to stay inside at night and canceled nighttime events. Isn't it amazing that we go for 100 years without having a lockdown because of the rise in heretofore unheard of diseases, and suddenly we have like four a year? It's because the mad scientists in the bio labs around the world are creating and releasing viruses on purpose as weapons against humanity. We should probably do something about that. Finally, we have this. Prisons start releasing offenders early in effort to ease overcrowding in the UK. More than 1,700 prisoners have now been let out early in England and Wales today as part of a government scheme to deal with overcrowding. And of course, this is in part to make room for the thousands of innocent people who are now being imprisoned by their own government for the words that they said on Facebook. It's a little preview as to what comes here next should the First Amendment fall to the psychotic and tyrannical demands of the Democrat Party. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore is the only way that we are able to stay here and stay on the air. We'll get back into the debate on the other side, show you some of the more important clips, and fact check the fact checkers on the lies that they spread in just flagrant ignorance of the reality on the ground, and in sort of a, well, in a way that can and should be turned against them. And it's up to you to share the links, share the stories, share the truth, defeat the lies. We'll be right back.
The United States is like one of the top or most sick countries in the world. We spend more than anybody else per capita on medicine. This looks like it's going to get to a very bad place because, like I said earlier, all I see is the people that own the medical system, the banks, the insurance companies, big pharma doubling down.
All I have discovered that I can do is try to get things into the hands of patients as much as possible. That includes medication, that includes information, that includes awareness. And we have to help people navigate the system. Unfortunately, Alex, I think where it's going to go is going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Explain what the wellness company does and Again, it's a lot bigger than just COVID or monkeypox. I mean, you're talking about a total one shop to talk to nurses, doctors, online medicine, everything. This is a revolution, and it's the answer to where you don't have big pharma ordering all the big pharmacies not to prescribe stuff because they want you to buy their drugs like Remdesivir or whatever. I mean, this is revolutionary, and people need to understand it. So spend a few minutes about why you joined the wellness company and what it's doing.
People, I think, are fearful of getting health care because it's going to be terribly expensive. The reality is you can deliver health care for the vast majority of your needs extremely effectively. We can do it. We can get cost effective. We can get medication in your hands.
What you guys are doing is getting people directly in touch with doctors, nurses, practitioners, and others, and everything that they need. That's why I'm so excited about the wellness company and onlinehealthnow.com. Everybody needs to mark that down and get ahead of this in these uncertain times.
If you don't allow medical practitioners to practice medicine and you do it from a centralized authority, it is destructive for the patients. It is dangerous. And the more centralized, the more dangerous. And I don't know why in the world we would contemplate going and signing for a World Economic, World Health Organization so-called treaty to give them fiat authority over duly elected officials. That to me is the scariest, most evil idea I've ever heard. Your most effective unit is right back to you, your family, and somebody whom you contact to use their judgment to help you.
Link to use is onlinehealthnow.com. One word, onlinehealthnow.com. Thank you so much, sir.
Appreciate it, Alex. Thank you so much.
Well, that was a great interview. And again, he's one of the most prominent doctors in the world. And you could say, kind of more mainline or whatever, but even he has come a long way and he's been standing up for free speech. And so the Wellness Company are awesome folks. They're a huge sponsor. These folks are the one-stop shop, and they've also got their spike protein detox on the site as well. So be sure and visit right now onlinehealthnow.com. Onlinehealthnow.com. Again, I want to thank Dr. Drew for coming on.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance. Or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula, meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor or just take our word for it and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. We'll go to the phone lines very shortly. I'm not going to go to phone calls this hour, but I'll go to phone calls throughout the second hour. I'll leave the phone lines closed for a minute just so you're not sitting on hold for a long time while I go through some of these clips, talk about some of the debate last night. And I want to point out the subtlety with which the bias infiltrates the moderation last night. I saw people posting that Trump talked for longer than Harris. They're saying, so how could it be rigged? They let Trump talk for several minutes more than Harris talked for. And that's because their bias is intelligent, sophisticated bias. And all you have to do is just imagine a different way of phrasing the questions that were phrased. And so the first question's sort of a good example. It starts off with the economy. Now, I've got the transcript here. David Muir, who was the primary, agent of bias in this, moderator, he asks Kamala Harris about the economy, and he phrases it this way. Vice President Harris, you and President Trump were were elected 4 years ago, and your opponent on the stage here tonight often asks his reporters, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? When it comes to the economy, do you believe Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago? Very simple question, right? If you just take this at face value, nothing wrong with the way that's asked necessarily. But then when it comes to Trump, his question is this. Your proposal calls for tariffs, as you pointed out here, on foreign imports across the board. You recently said that you might double your plan, imposing tariffs on 20% on goods coming into this country. As you know, many economists say with tariffs at that level, costs are then passed on to the consumer. Vice President Harris has argued it'll mean higher prices on gas, food, clothing, medication, arguing it costs a typical family nearly $4,000 a year. Do you believe Americans can afford higher prices because of tariffs? See, that's an accusation. That's an accusation. So I don't know. I don't really know how to explain this. You kind of just got to be able to see through this stuff. You got to be able to, like, just identify on your own where the implicit bias is in these questions. In other words, if the same question, if the intentions were reversed on the questions, he would have asked Kamala Harris something like, economists say the average American family is now spending $7,000 more per year on basic necessities. You know, how do you argue people are doing better now when they're struggling to put food on the table? You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's the subtle way things are asked. It's, you know, this question to Trump is an accusation, right? You're going to cost people $4,000 a year because of these tariffs. Can Americans afford that? When Kamala Harris, who has presided over the highest inflation possibly in American history, she's asked it in sort of a vague, like, what if scenario. And it's just the question is, are people better off now than they were? But when it comes to Trump, it's economists say people will be worse off under your plan. Are you okay with Americans suffering? And it's that type of bias that was just constant. These are the first two questions that were asked. And when it's Kamala Harris, it's, are people better off? And when it's Trump, it's, why do you like Americans suffering so much? And I don't know how people can't see this, can't see through this bias. It should be obvious to everybody. But if you don't just think about it and it just washes over you and just goes through you, and they sound like fair questions. They're not fair questions. Every question to Trump was some form of accusation, and every question to Harris was some sort of layup, right? Trump, you said something about Kamala Harris, being black and Indian. Why do you hate black people, sir? You know, like when they used to ask him while he was president, do you think slavery is a good thing? It's like, that's not a question, that's an accusation. And then Kamala Harris, like, as a proud black woman, will you talk about racism for a little bit? When you could just as easily go, for most of your career, Kamala Harris, you ran as an Indian woman. And when you were elected, you were celebrated as being the first Indian woman. Now tout yourself as the first African-American woman. What race are you and how did that change? Right? Like, it's subtle, but it's sophisticated and it's there. That's the form that this bias took from the moderators, and it was pervasive throughout. And every question had this level of bias inherent within it. Not to mention the fact-checking and the you know, claims that they made about things we all know to be true, but that they're claiming aren't. And the problem and the frustration I had with Trump, he's asked about the economy. He brings up immigration. And of course, the moderator is like, we'll get to immigration later. That's a different topic. But it's not a different topic, is it? It's not a different topic. Why didn't Trump just associate immigration to rising costs? It's very simple. Kamala Harris brings up housing costs. You go, well, what do you think bringing 20 million people into the country does to housing costs? What do you think that does to the housing supply? You know, multiplying our population by a half. Do you think that's good for first-time homeowners? It's not a disassociated topic, but he doesn't tie it together for the stupid people. People that understand it, it's obvious. Yeah, immigration is going to drive up housing prices. The billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that we're spending has to come from somewhere. It's being stolen from the American people. Immigration is an economic issue, but he doesn't tie it together that way. And so then they say, well, that's a different issue, sir. We'll get back to that later. You're off the rails. You're off topic. Very frustrating. Very frustrating to me personally. Now, again, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here. There were some classic Trumpian moments. We'll go to clip number three here. This was a pretty good bombshell from Trump talking about the way that she is stealing his platform. Let's go now to clip number three.
Hardly make chips anymore because of philosophies like they have and policies like they have. I don't say her because she has no policy. Everything that she believed 3 years ago and 4 years ago is out the window. She's going to my philosophy now. In fact, I was going to send her a MAGA hat. She's gone to my philosophy. But if she ever got elected, she'd change it. And it will be the end of our country. She's a Marxist. Everybody knows she's a Marxist. Her father's a Marxist professor in economics, and he taught her well. But when you look at what she's done to our country, and when you look at these millions and millions of people that are pouring into our country monthly, where it's, I believe, 21 million people, not the 15 that people say, and I think it's a lot higher than the 21, that's bigger than New York State pouring in. And just look at what they're doing to our country. They're criminals. Many of these people coming in are criminals. And that's bad for our economy, too. You know, you mentioned before, we'll talk about immigration later. Well, bad immigration is the worst thing that can happen to our economy. They have, and she has, destroyed our country with policy that's insane. Almost policy that you'd say they have to hate our country.
So, again, there is, you know, immigration is the worst economic policy. People don't get what that means. I get what it means. I mean, obviously, it's true. Obviously, right? But where's the explanation? Where's just, like, anything to give people an idea of what that even means? Again, I think it's appropriate to call the illegal immigrants, what did that article call yesterday, globally sourced scab workers? That would have been a great tack for Trump to take. Again, I personally little disappointed. We'll get into the fact checking of the fact checkers on the other side. We'll show you the videos where they just, you know, I get that's not fair. I get that we live in this world where, I mean, they just blatantly lie. But you got to know that, and you got to be able to contend with it. So they're just like, absolutely nobody has ever eaten a pet cat. That is racist. You gotta know how to deal with that, because it's absolutely true. Most people aren't on X.
I'm asking viewers to just sit back for a moment and really think about the success InfoWars has had. And InfoWars isn't just me. It's not just the crew. It's not just our guest. It's all of you, the viewers and listeners, that give us intel, that spread the word, that support the broadcast. In the 30-year history of me being on air and 27 years of InfoWars, we have changed the world. And because we researched the globalists' own documents, we knew their game plan. I didn't learn all this stuff out of some Palantir crystal ball. I did it by reading the books and publications that these creatures put out. Because they communicate with each other and are very honest about their diabolical plan for world government, depopulation, transhumanism, total robot control. And I've believed in humanity. I bet on you because I was betting on myself, and I know that it's always darkest right before the dawn. And so now in 2024, so close to this election, it is more critical than ever to not just keep InfoWars on the air, but to not take the reports and the videos and the articles and the interviews and to get those out to everybody you know. I understand that's really stating the obvious, but we have to understand how urgent the moment is and really redouble our efforts. And I'm saying that myself. I'm on the air 7 days a week. I'm doing a lot of interviews. I'm doing more special reports. We're going out in the field. We are busting our ass because the future destiny of humanity is really on the line right now. Now, a critical part of InfoWars continuing on, and hopefully even expanding into the future, is your support. And we make it so easy. We bring you the very best products that are out there that will empower and enrich your life at very competitive, affordable prices. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Read the 5-star reviews for the great InfoWars MD line and the other great supplements as well. They really are incredible. They're the very best that the supplement industry has to offer, and they really work. That's why people love them. The fastest growing industry in the United States, other than AI, is supplements year after year for 30 years because people are seeing the incredible effects. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are more than 15 products under the InfoWars MD line, and they're all amazing. But some of my favorites are the Nitric Boost that cleans out the blood, the cardiovascular system, and has a lot of great side effects that men will particularly notice. You need to check it out for yourself. You hear the callers talking about it all the time without me even prompting them. It is amazing. Then you've got Joint Relief Max that is a natural pain reliever. Works really, really well in a healthy way. You have Turmeric 95. 95% curcuminoid. This is where we get the turmeric for Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. They're both excellent. InfoWars MD. We've got the full spectrum CBD gummies. 25 milligrams. Great anti-inflammatory. Isn't a downer. Isn't a depressant, but makes you very relaxed and focused. It's almost like a stimulant in a weird way, but it's different. And then, of course, we've got other great products for women and men, Ageless Vitality, just high-quality collagen. All of this funds our operation. And, of course, these are 25-milligram gummies. They work great. We have 1,000-milligram tincture that is made by one of the top manufacturers in the country who sells it at retail for twice the price we sell it, then they discount it. Even at the discount, we're selling it for about 50% less than the actual manufacturer does. There's not as much profit, but it's a great deal. 1,000 milligram CBD oil, InfoWars MD, that's the tincture. Then we've got all these other amazing products from InfoWars MD as well. They're excellent, and it funds the operation. So go to InfoWarsStore.com today and check out the InfoWars MD line. While you're at it, get a high-quality water filtration, get storable food, get books, get films, get T-shirts. All of it will enrich your life, inform your mind, and keep us on the air. That's critical right now. I humbly thank you for your support. Now please go to InfoWarsStore.com.
Welcome back, folks. It's time to fact check the fact checkers. To fact check Al Harris, who, of course, made a bunch of egregious lies in her statements as well. Well, we'll focus on this, okay? Breitbart has a story. ABC News fact-checked Trump 7 times, never fact-checked Kamala Harris once, despite her making very, very blatantly false statements. Never fact-checked. But they did fact-check Trump in real time. And they list out these instances. The first is Lindsay Davis, one of the moderators, saying there's no state in this country where it's legal to kill a baby after it's born. Matter, Vice President, I want you to get your response to President Trump. So Trump brings up post-birth abortions as well as 9-month abortions. They say that there's no way that doesn't happen. What an insane claim to make. I'd like to now go to clip number 25, please.
Delegate Tran.
Yes, sir.
How late in a pregnancy would your bill apply if a physician was simply willing to certify that the continuation of the pregnancy would impair the mental health of the woman? How late are we talking about?
So the way the suggestion that we've made in the bill is to say it's in the third trimester and at the, you know, with the certification of the physician. So
how late in the third trimester would you be able to do that?
You know, it's very unfortunate that our physicians, witnesses, were not able to attend today to speak specifically.
No, I'm talking
that.
About your bill. How late in the third trimester could a physician perform an abortion if he indicated it would impair the mental health of the woman?
Or physical health.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about the mental health.
So, I mean, through the third trimester. The third trimester goes all the way up to 40 weeks.
Okay, but to the end of the third trimester.
Yep, I don't think we have a limit in the bill.
So where it's obvious that a woman is about to give birth. She has physical signs that she is about to give a birth. Would that still be a point at which she could request an abortion if she was so certified? She's dilating.
Mr. Chairman, that would be a decision that the doctor, the physician, and the woman would make.
I understand
make
that.
That.
I'm asking
point.
If your bill allows that.
My bill would allow that, yes.
And of course, Trump brought up the Virginia governor talking about this, a clip that exists. I hate to break it to ABC News. Yes, it does actually exist, and you should probably listen to it. Clip number 29.
No exception. There was a very contentious committee hearing yesterday when Fairfax County Delegate Kathy Tran made her case for lifting restrictions on third trimester abortions, as well as other restrictions now in place. And she was pressed by a Republican delegate about whether her bill would permit an abortion, even as a woman is essentially dilating, ready to give birth. And she answered that it would permit an abortion at that stage of labor. Do you support her measure and explain her answer?
Yeah, and I wasn't there, Julie, and I certainly can't speak for Delegate Tran, but I will tell you first thing I would say, this is why decisions such as this should be made by providers, physicians, and the mothers and fathers that are involved. There are, when we talk about third trimester abortions, these are done with the consent of obviously the mother, with the consent of the physicians, more than one physician, by the way. And it's done in cases where there may be severe deformities, there may be a fetus that's non-viable. So in this particular example, if a mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered. The infant would be kept comfortable. The infant would be resuscitated if that's what the mother and the family desired. And then a discussion would ensue between the physicians and the mother. So I think this was really blown out of proportion. But again, we want the government not to be involved in these types of decisions. We want the decision to be made by the mothers and their providers. And this is why, Julie, that legislators, most of whom are men, by the way, shouldn't be telling a woman what she should and shouldn't be doing with her body.
And do you think multiple physicians should have to weigh in, as is currently required? She's trying to lift that requirement.
Well, I think it's always good to get a second opinion and for at least two providers to be involved in that decision, because these decisions shouldn't be taken lightly. And I would certainly support more than one provider.
All right. Let's go back to the phones now.
Okay, so fact check, but let's keep going, I guess. Abortion isn't legal anywhere near up to birth in America. Reality, abortion is protected up to birth in 6 states in America. So, under dark green, not restricted, based on gestational age. And you can see several states where that is the case. So, I guess they just don't want you to know that. But again, even without getting into the specifics and mentioning the states that have this or mentioning the video where the Virginia governor is very clearly advocating for this, the question I would put to Kamala Harris is like, do you think that's okay? Do you think you say it doesn't happen, but would you veto a bill that had up till 9 months? Like, put the onus on her, put the weight on her to say, yeah, it's crazy and wrong to have abortion. Like, there has to be a limit to abortion, but that doesn't get discussed. Instead, what gets discussed is the claims Trump makes. Even though they're true, they're fact checked, and Kamala Harris gets to just skirt out without actually answering whether she's okay with 9-month abortion. The next fact checking they did. David Murr, I want to clarify here. You bring up Springfield, Ohio, and ABC News did reach out to the city manager there. He told us there have been no credible reports of specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community. And in this case, the words credible and specific are the weasel words. What we can glean from this is that there were reports and broad claims of pets being harmed. They just don't have any credible, whatever that means, right? It means nothing. It means whatever they want to say. If there was a report and they go, but we don't think that's credible. Oh, so no credible reports. And if there are claims, hey, our cats are going missing. Well, that's not very specific, is it? So no credible or specific claims, which is a true statement, even if people are saying, hey, all of our cats are going missing as soon as the Haitians moved in. Hey, my cat went missing and I saw them barbecuing the next day. I think they may have eaten it. Well, that's not very credible or specific, is it? So therefore, no credible or specific claims have been made about this. Fact check. You're a liar, sir. These are the weasel words they use, and you have to be able to identify them. And of course, it's obviously true. Everybody knows it's true. Let's go now to clip number 10. This is audio obtained by the Federalist of a call made to the police on August 26th about a group of Haitian migrants carrying geese home to eat in Springfield, Ohio. Let's watch.
I'm riding on the trail going to my orientation for my job today. And I see a group of Haitian people. There was about four of them. They all had geese in their hand. They got away. I couldn't make out the first three of the license plate, but I got the numbers. The last numbers was 9898, and it was a gray Toyota Tacoma they took off on. There was about four of them. There was two men, two women. I couldn't tell the age because I'm in a hurry going to this orientation, so I don't be late.
What direction did they go?
They went up towards the middle of towards downtown.
Okay, and what path are you on?
Right now, hold on just a second. I'm coming to the intersection of. Give me a second here. It says Water and Water Street.
Water and Water.
We can take it down. You get the point. That is a 911 call of somebody reporting Haitian migrants walking off with the geese from the park. You know, kind of like the picture that we have. But hey, I guess they don't consider that report credible or specific. So, therefore, no credible or specific reports. Ignore the evidence of your eyes and the just overwhelming evidence from all of the statements of everybody who lives there. I have so many videos of that, by the way. We've got, a lot. Clip number 12. Let's go to that quickly.
Come here. You don't want to get eaten up, do you?
You're going to be next, boy.
I ain't eating nothing off of a barbecue pit around here.
Ducks. Ducks are disappearing.
So the migrants are eating geese, you think? That's... Have you heard of pets being abducted?
Yep. Cats are a delicacy in Haiti.
So it's not that they're poor and eating them because they don't have other food. It is a delicacy like someone would eat escargot.
Of course, we showed you reports from 2019 calling it a Christmas tradition to eat cats in Haiti. Yeah, it's obviously happening.
And people are listening to me are like, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the devil either. Oh, no, you've been captured. Because if you don't believe in Jesus or you don't believe in the devil, is the devil telling you that? There's a blindfold. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil, that's the god of this world, has put a veil over people so that they don't see the light of the gospel. So, like, one day I'm just crying out and praying for the nation because, like I said, my main job in this world is an intercessor for the nations, and then my side hustle is being a doctor and a businesswoman. I can't believe that in 2024, you're still in a position where you can get a serious disease from COVID, end up with COVID long symptoms, and possibly die. So please, please, just listen to me. Go on drstellamd.com, do a telemedicine appointment, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. For people right now, for a family, if you want to like build defense for your family, is to get Covivites, to get the Pox Defense. And if you have children, get the Immunovites for children because it has zinc, it has elderberry. So this is what we're calling right now the Trifecta Family Pack. So you get the immune defense for your family, you get defense against pox, you get defense against, build your immunity against COVID, against bird flu and dengue and all these other RNA viruses. So my advice, please listen to me. Go on our website, drstellamd.com. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. We put this together to help you, but I just want you to get it. Get it in your head that we are at a time when they want to destroy humanity. And because they're going to try to destroy humanity, we have to be prepared. Only those that are paranoid, that are prepared, would survive. So that is my pledge, and that is what we do. Your pledge is to make sure that you prepare you and your family. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount.